David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
Welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. We're joined this week by Trevor Hankins, introduce himself, and Rachel Wells.
Hi.
And Julia Cannon.
Hello.
Hey, the creative team behind Power Squared. And we're going to sort of talk about what we hope I think we have a really good creative team. I'm not upset with anybody. I think everybody's doing a good job, and I really appreciate everybody's work and all that. It's just that we're not selling the book. I know that we put out issue 10, and I really don't know if we actually sold any issues at all of it, which is sad. I'd like us to actually sell some. And one of the things we need to do, which we're not good at, and I'm not expecting anybody to actually be a whiz at it, is marketing the comic book. And I do appreciate, like, I know, Julia, you've got something up on your Twitch page that you're the colorist, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate when you actually color it on your Twitch channel. That's really good. I appreciate all that. And all the links you have to everybody. It's really great. But those people aren't necessarily buying it yet. Maybe they're waiting for yours to come out, but they're not buying it now. So we just need to figure out really who is the ideal reader of the comic book.
As you could probably glean from the title of this podcast.
Paul and I are going to have a meeting, I guess a virtual meeting, with the guy that wrote this book, Gamble Hennessy, if I got his name right. It's the business of independent comic book publishing. And he's going to help with the idea of helping us figure out how to market it better, I hope. We have an hour meeting with him in February. So I was just sort of wanting us to sort of, one of the things he suggests in the book, actually, is that you get the creative team together, and who do you think is the ideal reader? And a lot of this is stuff, theoretically, you would have done before you published 10 issues of it. But that's kind of where we are. I mean, we kind of jumped into this as a kind of a passion project for the three of us, and it's sort of, you know, we've been able to maintain it, but I'd like it to grow. Anyway, and I know that I sent everybody this little profile thing, which Rachel filled out, which I appreciate. But it's just basically the idea of these are the some of the kind of the profile of what we think the ideal reader would be.
Right.
So. Yeah. Anybody have any questions about this?
I just want to, like, jump in. I just, you were saying that, like, oh, maybe we should have done this before we started the comic. But I was just thinking of, I listened to a podcast earlier with Sungwon Cho, ProZD, and Tracy J. Butler, who is my favorite comic artist ever. And they were talking about how to get into their own business. Like, in Tracy's case, it was comics. And people ask her, like, oh, how did you market your comic? Did you get your name out there? She's like, I don't know. I didn't really try. But I think they also talked about how a lot of comic creators, like, want to wait until they know exactly what they're doing before they start doing something, like, before they publish that comic, before they talk to a publisher. They want to make sure they have all their shit together. But the thing is, like, you just kind of have to get out there and do it sometimes. Like, that mythical place of, like, your art being good enough, your art being, like, what you want it to be, you're never going to be there. So I don't think you necessarily feel really bad about not knowing anything about marketing before you start art, because I don't think any artists really know about marketing at all. So,
yeah, no,
you know, it's a learning process.
Yeah, but we can't magically expect people to find us, because nobody is, you know, finding us.
Yeah, it's true.
And so we need to figure
out. It's true, but I mean, like, I know jack diddly about marketing, so.
And guess what?
I feel like we're all in this together, I feel like.
But Julie has that degree in it, right? No, I'm kidding. But.
College dropout, say what? I'm kidding.
No, I'm just saying that in looking at the book, basically all these things you're supposed to do before you start it, and we didn't build up a fan base or anything. We just started because we had this idea for a comic book. Hey, let's do it. And we put it out, and it's evolved over time. But the first 100 people that we signed up to be on the mailing list, if they're still there, they're the only ones still on the mailing list. We haven't been able to expand it beyond that. And I know we've done some advertising on Facebook and all that, and people will look at it and say, that's great, but nobody actually pushes the button to enroll or subscribe or whatever. So we just need to figure out kind of who we think it is, and how, and then the next step would be how to how to find those people. But I just want to kind of get everybody's, and I want it to be more than just teenage boys that might read comic books, because then that's a small and perhaps shrinking market. We need to figure out, maybe there are people that like other kinds of, maybe like fantasy, or they're into something else that we could, there's a romance kind of in the story, maybe that'll appeal to some people. I don't know. I'm just trying to kind of be as specific and as broad at the same time as we can be.
Right.
So
yeah.
Go ahead.
So like, it sounds like your situation is kind of like the thing with Ruby. They never had like a demographic to begin with, and then like after like a couple of years, they pretty much built on that. So I think the one thing you guys have going for you is just, since you guys don't have like, I guess, a targeted demographic per se, it's all up in the air. It's anyone's game at this point. So that's, I feel like that's a good thing.
Okay.
And I guess in terms of,
Sorry, go ahead.
Where was I going with this? But I think like a good way to get like it out there, also like I guess in a creative aspect, as like as consuming as it can be sometimes, like content. So one of my friends that I talked to actually talked to me about this, as someone who's also trying to get out there as well, just also as a content creator, is like both consistency and just like pushing out content. So aside from the comic, like, I always see you guys posting like videos and stuff regarding the comic as well. So
this will be a video, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, like aside from podcasts, so like I'm saying like the stuff that Rachel and I helped you out with the voice and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and we do put stuff up on Instagram, and it goes to Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr.
Yeah, so like sometimes more than just say like podcasts, or just like saying if you're going like I don't know. Sorry, I had a point with this, and then my brain just derped. But like, oh gosh, no. But one thing I've always seen, like sorry, I'm just trying to get my brain to this. Like aside, like one way of also doing it is just like say putting in, I guess. Dang it, I had a point. Darn it. Rachel, can you go and I'll think about this in 2 seconds? I'm so dumb.
I was just gonna say before, as a about what, tacking onto the Ruby point, like I've always felt weird about necessarily like attaching demographics to things. It's like, oh, I only have to market to a single kind of person. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a single kind of person, but yeah, like to go off of what you were saying, I think you guys were doing it right in that you started to make something that you really liked. You weren't necessarily thinking about, okay, like who am I going to market to exactly? Like, cause that's not anyone's first. That's not anyone's instinct. You know, you're just kind of creating something and you think about the logistics later.
Yeah.
So I think you definitely have that going for you.
Yeah. This is all out of my pocket, and I'd like to sort of put something back in at some point. I mean, so I do want to see this sell. I've gotten, $40 or $50 or something so far out of, I won't go to how much, but, the idea would be that the least have somebody, the idea is not to market to, you have to have people find you to want to actually read your book and buy the t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. We didn't enter into it thinking, oh, we're going to hit, this is the crowd we're going to go for, twins that read comic books have been a pretty small, group. I think it's kind of necessary if we want to keep it going to actually sell issues at some point, So if we can go through this little profile that he had that I sent out. And then basically, I don't think we're going to find, and it's Joe Smith in Ouachita, you know, Kansas. That's the guy we're going to hit, you know. But it would just be nice to kind of, you know, think about who we're trying to hit, and then later, I guess, we'll have to figure out how to find those people to hit them up, you know, at least to make them aware that we're here and sort of figure out how we can, you know, appeal to them to want to actually, you know, buy the comic book and buy the t-shirts and subscribe to the newsletter and all that. So,
yeah,
you know, so basically, I mean, he's got down here gender. I don't know if anybody's following along at home. He's got, you know, male, female, non-binary and trans. I don't think we're trying to appeal to non-binary or trans per se. I'm not ruling them out, but I'm just that doesn't seem like it's
We're not targeting at them specifically.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys differ? Have a different opinion about that, or?
I think it was Monty Ohms the one that said it. If like you're going to add some, like say, like a specific, like I guess community into the show, you kind of have to make a point to it. A good example of that is I saw a clip from Ruby where there is actually a trans character in there. Spoiler: I'm so sorry if you guys haven't caught up with Ruby, but. It is what it is. But the way they made a point to that is that hunter, huntress, they basically their family didn't support them like in their like both like as a person and as a hunter, like they didn't support them at all, and that basically made their arc of who they were and what why they're there.
Right.
And like how there is a thing to it, but like the point is like if you're gonna add some like say like a trans person or like person like who is like et cetera, et cetera. Like make it a point. Just don't like, oh, let's just add him. Don't do that thing.
No, and I just don't see the story going that way. And I don't think either any of us could actually write a good character that would be that way. So I'm not trying to say let's add one. I'm just saying that I don't think that's really our target.
Yeah, you could like you could probably add it for like say a character arc for someone like say if they're going through some sort of trouble, especially with I guess how this that universe works and how like people are with just but you would have to like strategically like do that in both writing and just looking into perspectives of say like
but that's
like, it's okay. One thing writing for twins, it's another thing writing for
well the other thing would be I think people that are looking for those kind of stories are probably looking for more of it to be more about them. You know, they can see that person. You know, that's, you know, they kind of see themselves in the book or whatever, and that's not really what we're not trying to write that kind of story.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
When it comes to demographics, I think like the best policy is if you're wondering what sort of audience is drawn to a story, look at the protagonists. Like, are they young? Are they old? Mm-hmm. Are they white, black, queer, straight? You know, and that's usually because people see themselves in the protagonist and they're going to be more likely to be drawn to that kind of story because they see themselves in it. That's just how, you know, in-group dynamics work.
Right.
So, you know, I look at Marty and Eli and was like, this looks like the, you know, the ideal reader to me for the most part. Again, not that no one else can read the comic. But, you know. Only twins can read this comic.
Yeah, that's the rule. And then if let's say we decide that that's really great, I have no idea how you find, you know, everything that I know about twins is based on being a parent of twins as their little children, raising them, and then that's, you know, they're gone to the, you know. So I don't know how you I don't know if there's twin groups out there of, you know, we're all twins, let's look for stuff.
Support groups.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do know that there are support groups out there for parents raising them. Like, oh my God, what am I doing? I enjoy looking at those on Facebook. Going, yeah, I've already been through that.
Well, just imagine this: if you can reach at least one twin, then you'll automatically reach the other because they'll telepathically communicate. That's how that works, right?
So I'll put twins down. I don't think that's gender though, but we'll so I'm also going to think that our sexual orientation of the ideal reader would be probably straight as opposed to LGBTQA.
Going back to the point we were talking about with gender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got race down here. I'd really not like it to be just white people reading it. You know, that doesn't, you know, I'd like it to be more than that. But I mean that, and I don't know. I mean, basically, you know, we made Marty and Eli who they are based a little bit on who these guys are. So it wasn't like, you know, we were, you know, I think we've joked about if this ever got made into a TV series, they'd make them, you know, black girls or something, you know, make it more diverse, but that's not who we were writing about. So I kind of think we're a little, you know, we're kind of stuck with those characters at this point.
I think the issue when it comes to race and marketing is that anything that's default, anything that's not specifically outside of whiteness is like, it's just considered white, you know, that's just the default. And it's a problem. It's not something that we can solve just by filling out this form.
Really?
Yeah, unless it's...
But I thought...
Unfortunately. But yeah, unless it's something like, you know, Spider-Man Miles Morales, then, you know.
Well, we are trying to introduce other characters of other, you know, I mean, Mocha's obviously not white, and we're trying to introduce other characters in the stories that, you know, aren't white either. And we do have a black character in.
Oh, yeah.
That was basically because they had a friend who was black.
I'm thinking about her too. Cause, especially cause I mean, she might be an antagonist sort of character, but she does have an interesting story. So I think that really matters when it comes to representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also helps add some visual diversity.
Yes. No, we were trying, it was, small universe we're building off of, I guess. So as far as like where do we see them being, I would imagine it's urban or suburban. I don't see us hitting, you know, the guy out on the tilling the fields in the rural area. Hey, I want to read about
not yet at least.
Yeah, until this becomes a major motion picture. Yeah, I don't see what So education-wise, it's probably going to be high school, college. I'm thinking it's going to be probably high school mostly, going into college maybe. You know, because the characters are in college, and you're probably when you're in college, you're probably not, hey, I'm going to go buy a comic book.
But maybe community college.
I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. That's just how I feel about it.
Right.
Probably high school going.
That's what I was thinking, either college age or like, you know, when I was in high school, all I wanted was to be in college because it sounded so cool.
Yeah.
You know, when I consume stories about people in college, I'm like, oh, so exciting.
And then you get there and it's like, oh, this is what
living
college
on
is.
Your own, being an
adult. True.
Well, and you also get it where like high school teachers try to tell you how hard college teachers will be on you. And then college teachers are just like, are actually more super chill.
Oh, gosh. Like a Thomas Sanders line.
They want to scare you.
Yeah. Like high school, like, it's only gonna get harder. Go to college. All right, we're just gonna watch a YouTube video. I'm not feeling too well. Let's go home. Probably happened. Probably didn't. Just say it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We also don't have one of the things that he has down here is religion. We don't really have a.
It's not a religious book.
Right, so. And we're not necessarily pushing something. So yeah. I would say it's more of a, you know, you could be religious and like it, but it's not...
Specifically.
It's not Veggie Tales, you know.
if you want to go as spiritual as a religion, but even then, that's just how the universe is. It's nothing more, it's nothing
I don't know if you watched last week. We had the guys, creators from G-Man Comics, were on, and I asked them, "Who's your ideal reader?" They go, "We are." You know, just like, okay, you're not going to sell a lot of books that way.
I think it's natural for creators to want to write stories about themselves because, you know, they teach us in comic school like write what you know,
right.
And you know yourself the best, right?
Yeah.
So it's natural.
And I think that's kind of what the genesis of this was to have a sort of a story that was more about, you know, I guess making twins more of the main characters and then kind of how they're different and all that. So, yeah. that we weren't trying to do a so I would imagine that we're probably gonna hit people that are single as we're getting down to the going down the little steps here, and probably without children, because but at the same time it's kind of, I mean, one of the fans that we have, Sue Price.
Yeah.
She's an actress that we met at a convention, and she's actually, she did some work for us as well, but she's actually, you know, gotten all the issues. I mean, she's following us, and she's not, you know, our target little boys in college kind of thing.
That's called periphery demographic.
Right. I'm just saying that, I mean, we can't, she has kids and, you know, all that. So, I mean, it's possible there's something else that attracted her to it. Maybe it's not, you know, so I'm just saying,
yeah,
but I don't think we're going to be aiming at people with kids.
It's kind of funny how when you make like some sort of content, it's not meant for kids. And yet somehow your like children end up being your demographic, like, not like it's a bad thing. It's just, I kind of find it funny. Like, for example, how The Simpsons is, it wasn't targeted towards kids, but somehow we got into it.
It's also
true. Kids get at all sorts of things.
Well, one of the things I remember when I was taking them to school was some of the kids were into things that are like, really? You shouldn't be watching that at your age.
Right. Like South Park.
Yeah, South Park. Yeah. In kindergarten, they're talking about South Park. I'm like, okay, that's not really what you should be watching.
God, especially these days when, like, you know, they'll be selling, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's stuff in the Target's kids section. And it's like,
no, child, no.
Yeah. I mean,
although I'm not much better, honestly. When I was 6 years old, my dad rented the movie Princess Mononoke for me. Mm-hmm. He figured it was a cartoon. What could be so bad? And that movie just changed my six-year-old life.
Well, you have to be, I guess, since I'm the parent here, you have to be careful what you show your kids, because, you know, there was a, when I was at MGM, there was a guy who was saying that, when he gets his kids are sick, he sits down and they watch a Bond film. And I'm like, that's not really appropriate for little kids, he's blowing up things and sleeping with women. That's really not, you know, maybe appropriate for the kids. But, you know, I'm not their parent, so.
It's kind of funny how somehow it works out in the end, but also it probably shouldn't have that way.
But, you know, you don't want to also coddle, you know, kids. Different ages, you can expose them to different things, I think. It depends really on the kid.
It's a weird gray area, like, of course, because, like, I think with my parents, like, because, like, same with their daughter, like, I watched, like, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, all that stuff. And, like, there's, like, some dark undertones with those, like, movies and shows as well. But it's, like, one of those things where I think with my parents as well, like, well, they have to learn eventually, but also be open to, if they ask you questions, just be there to answer it the best you can without totally, like, either ruining them or just treating them like a person, per se.
Right.
The best I can explain it.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents are afraid of having that conversation, or if that were to happen, what would they do, you know? So it kind of translates to, I also remember as a, as a 16-year-old, I tried to watch Watchmen, the movie, and my parents just weren't having it, you know. It was for like, and I was just so upset about, like, I really wanted to watch this movie, and I ended up pirating it later.
Driving your kids to piracy, that's really that's bad.
Moving on.
Okay, well, so are there particular values or attitudes or interests we think the ideal reader would have?
That part was definitely one of the trickier ones when I was filling out the little paper, because I guess you just have to think about the themes of the comic, not necessarily trying to espouse a greater message. I don't think that's necessarily anything wrong with that, but I suppose I was also thinking about, I think later in the handout there was like about, you know, lifestyle, motivations. I guess I was thinking about, you know, Marty and Eli are like, you know, they're two twin guys just trying to live life with these powers, trying to you know, help their friends, maybe get some benefits for themselves out of their powers. So I was just thinking, like if I were in that position, what would my motivations be? What would I want out of a, you know, out of a comic book, I suppose, out of my life?
I used to think of it as sort of new age, not new age, sorry, new adult fiction. There's young adult, and there was something called new adult, and I don't know if it's still around or not, but the idea was it was more about going away to college, your first relationships with the opposite sex or same sex, and then, you know, getting a job and just becoming an adult, which is kind of where my right. Eli are, but they have this other little twist going on, is that they have these powers that they have to deal with.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any market for new adult, but that's how I used to describe it.
I think it's like the classic, like, you know, like maybe a superhero story, like, oh, they have to fight criminals by night, then in the morning they have a math test, oh no. And they have to talk with their career advisor.
Yeah,
you know,
we haven't gotten to that yet. So do we have any ideas about values or attitudes or lifestyles? I mean, I would imagine maybe the lifestyle is your, you know, probably I'm going to say probably living at home or just getting ready to move away from home for the first time. You know, maybe that would be part of it.
Yeah. I suppose it's a classic, like, you know, college student and the sunrise of their life, like figuring stuff out, trying to survive, more or less.
We were also trying to use it as the boys themselves were sort of, I mean, high school sucks for most 90% of the people, and the reason they went away to go to another to community college was to sort of start over. People don't know who they are and have the, you know, they don't say, you know, was it Paul and Eric, you know, Paul and Trevor when they would go by, you know, Sam and Eric kind of stuff. They would just, mm-hmm. you know, called, you know, they were like this little unit for growing up. And when you go off to college, then like a lot of people don't even know they're twins, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was part of it was they're having to kind of, they get the chance to sort of have their own identities for the first time.
Be themselves.
Time. Yeah, be themselves.
And I don't know, can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that throughout the comics story, like especially in this newest arc. Not the newest arc. What am I saying? when it comes to the what starts in issue 10, the arc with Quincy, we almost start to see bits of, like, you know, Marty not necessarily Marty wanted to be his own person, and Eli like, no, wait.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, there's a little bit of the. You want to say something? Strained, you know, the relationship being a little strained because they're being pulled away by girls, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of, again, the, you know, kind of, it happens with friends. I know that suddenly somebody starts dating, so you never see them again, you know, that kind of deal. In this case, somebody's trying to break them up, literally trying to break them up.
Imagine it's hard when you live your life as, you know, as twins, so closely knit, and then suddenly something like, I remember specifically there were a pair of twins in my high school. There were so many twins in my high school. It was really weird. But one of the twins got into this certain college and the other twin didn't. And they were like, oh God, what are we going to do? We're not going to go to college together. And I was just like, oh wow, huh? That must be tough. That sounded really sarcastic, but it must be tough, you know?
Yeah.
Well, this is somebody that it's like you're, you know, I went to college with my best friend at the time, you know, and this, I mean, I had known him a long time and he was going there. So I went there. And then we, you know, went in separate directions at some point, but, and there's a certain, you know, familiarity, and you're starting something new. You kind of want to have a buddy with you. And in some cases that buddy may be your sibling, but you know, how do you guys feel? I mean, you lived it.
Well, we were able to go to the same college together, but we did realize we wanted to follow different paths. So we took different majors, and then we eventually did additional postgraduate stuff and separate schools, I guess. Like, I did a, I just completed a certificate through UCLA Extension, and he was taking classes at the Animation Guild.
So, I mean, and again, I'm sure there are people that don't know, if they know you, they don't necessarily know Trevor Giroux.
No, actually, for most, for pretty much all of my classes at UCLA, no one knew that Trevor existed. It doesn't come up that often.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know. It's kind of weird when you see somebody and they go, oh yeah, I'm a twin. Well, yeah, because you don't wear like a T on your shirt, you know. But yeah, it is kind of, you do develop your own personalities and relationships and all that. And I think that's kind of what Powered Squared is also exploring a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about issue number 10.
Actually, even when we both went to CSUN, people didn't necessarily know the other one existed.
Right.
And so, or distinctly, because we were at different, like, ends of the campus, that's how they sectioned it off. And I distinctly remember in one of my English classes, someone found out he existed and wanted to see him. So I had him come over.
Oh, it's a quick question. Have y'all ever tried to like switch places in class to see if anyone noticed?
No, we didn't. Oh. But
they have this honest streak running through them. I don't know where they get it from.
But yeah, I can definitely see that serving as like, you know, an answer to that. Like, what are their values? I guess, like, trying to find yourself. Definitely a sort of coming-of-age story, even if it's not necessarily, like, usually coming-of-age stories are a little bit younger, but I feel like this could definitely warrant, like, you know, coming-of-age themes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of that new adult label I put on it.
Yeah, sort of, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of coming-of-age later, I guess. So I guess we can go, there's motivations and priorities and influences, and I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe Gom will have
a I'll say influences are definitely the influences. You can definitely like put, you know, like anime and manga there. I might have put that when I was filling out the form.
That's probably, I would think more
you know, they enjoy anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think we have some anime flavor in this, you know. Kitsune, and we're bringing in some other more yokai and stuff. I think that would perhaps be something that might appeal to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I guess we should go to anime cons and sit around. But I mean, you know, I do think it's
Don't go to anime expo. Don't do it.
Not yet.
No. No, even if it does open up, just don't go in general. Even if it wasn't for the pendant.
Bad experience?
Oh, no.
It's like it's too crowded for
It's true. Open.
Oh.
Well, like, they don't restrict it like SGDQ or Comic-Con or like any other, because you know how like there's like a window of when to get tickets. And Anime Expo is like, okay, tickets galore, have fun.
Well, we wouldn't normally go anyway because it's like a week before Comic-Con.
Right. Now, even though we're not selling, you can't get in Comic-Con as a professional once you've been published. So I'm just saying, if you ever want to be a professional, you can. which means you don't have to pay for the tickets. Which is not.
Oh yeah, I heard that. Like, if you're like a profession, then you can actually.
Yeah.
Like, is it like publishers and journalists, right? I remember. Or not
journalists. I think they're trying to be more towards people actually doing comic books.
Starting from last time, they're actually prioritizing giving professional status to people who are actually involved in comics.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's called Comic
Con. Yeah. and we are. Well, but there's like a lot of stuff that's not comic related there. But we are, you know, we are published, and that was good enough for them. So we're professionals, which is kind of cool.
Good enough for me.
Even though we're not making money at it, but we're professional.
You still have to do it again every 3 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what kind of genres and subgenres do you think an ideal reader would also be interested in? He's got down here several, but I mean, I think coming of age is one that we talked about.
I think this is more asking, like, what is the genre, subgenre of our story?
Story, okay. All right. So coming of age, fantasy, and superhero are the ones I put down.
I think that kind of covers it, honestly.
Yeah. We don't have really. I think I wrote action. I don't know if adventure counts. What does adventure entail exactly?
It's like being lost in the woods and finding a way out. I don't know. So yeah, there's really not. I mean, in some ways, I hate to say it, there's not as much action probably as most superhero stories have. We have whole episodes issues where there's nobody blown up or anything.
I think like the most action I've seen so far in the comic is when they all almost died from that explosion.
Yeah.
I think that's the most action I've seen. I'm like, y'all almost died.
It's go big or go home, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
It was suitable.
That was our biggest two page.
I would also argue sci-fi.
There's a little bit of that in there.
Yeah. With the Viribus compound and
We do. Yeah, we have a little sci-fi in there, so we should be looking for sci-fi people. we're not Western or war or any of that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Okay,
not yet.
And
what generation will this book appeal to? We put
young adult, born in the 90s to 2010. Because that's probably our target, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, again.
I would agree there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because those are the people that are getting ready to go to college.
Yeah.
So. Okay. And then, if you have anything else you want to throw. What are the major entertainment, literary, or media influences for this book? So I would say anime, and I know manga was part of it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
Anything else?
I
actually showed it to some old coworkers of mine when I was telling my boss and my aunt about that I got a new side gig. Uh-huh. I showed them the website, they were just like, "Oh, we get a bit of Archie vibes from it as well." It's old school comics like those as well.
Okay. Yeah. I think one of the things when we've discussed having a pitch packet to try to, sell it as a TV show. One of the things we use is, isn't it the Archies?
Yeah. Archie was one of the
things. There's a little bit of, since there's not tons of, there's a little bit of talking and, that kind of stuff in it. Archie, I don't think is really that, action packed. In the old days, maybe it is now. Because I know they're fighting zombies and meeting Kiss and all that. But, it was sort of more of a slice of life kind of.
Yeah.
In some ways, this is a little slice of life with superpowers thrown in, But so if we could sell as well as Archie, I'd be all for it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go big Archie. But, and we're not also trying to be socially or politically, I'm not trying to.
Not topical.
Yeah. We're not trying to be topical or have our political, alliances, allegiances.
Just trying to tell a story, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So basically that is. So does anybody have anything else they want to add to the, I like the idea of science fiction being something we could bring into it. We do have a science fiction. There's a lot of little bits of here and there, threads of science fiction, threads of kind of manga, and threads of superpowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's which clouds the idea. It's hard to look up. The other thing would be look at competitors, and that's the hardest. The guy said, put your genres in and see what happens, and I don't really get anything back.
I think the closest thing we'd have to any competitor, I can't actually name anything specific, but stuff that happens to have twins in it.
Yeah.
Which, again, most of the time when there's twins in a comic, they just happen to have twins. As opposed to being about twins. What's my exposure anyway?
Awesome. Does anybody have anything else they want to add to who the the profile of the ideal reader would be? Any thoughts?
We should I feel like a story like Power Squared would definitely, you know, y'all talked about Archie, but I feel like it kind of has the same appeal as like a sort of classic superhero comic, not necessarily like 30s style, but like kind of around when the personalities start to become more interesting, like they weren't just like two-dimensional paragons of good, like they had some, you know, they had some personality to them. And that really appeals to people because they're like, oh, I can relate to this person. This is a human being. But also there's this sort of what am I trying to think of? There's good and then there's evil, you know. I don't think necessarily a bad thing, but you know, that these the Marty and Eli are fighting for good, for like, you know, the what do you call that? For But like, you know, to protect their friends, to protect their family, to protect their own way of life. Against the scientist, obviously, like, you need to take a break. You need to sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to say we had Dr. Atlas before he was popular.
Oh, no.
He was never popular. He's well known.
I just realized that you're
going to He had him before he was cool.
Yeah. And then he never was. That's the other thing. All right. So anybody else have anything else they want to contribute to this part of it? And I take that.
I think we covered it pretty succinctly.
Okay. Yeah. I will try to. What I'll do is I will write up these great notes and then send it out to everybody. So we all kind of on the same page. If you can think of some place we could, you know, should be, you know, trying to either peer or sell or whatever. I mean, like we've had guests on our, you know, show, promoting their stuff. The reciprocal would be nice too. But I mean, you know, we're trying to figure out some place we could actually be a guest on or something like that. To talk about it and expand the market, or so I'm just saying. If you know somebody that has a blog or a show, let us know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I guess one way you would say if you wanted to get like Marty and Eli out there, like just something I've noticed like with comics and like shows in general is like there's always like little tidbits, whether if it's like a small like comic strip or say like an animated or something. It's just, like something outside of the story. A good example is what Webtoons does is some of the comics that are in their on their radar is they'll make like little animatics or little animations of the story to either publicize it or remember like in I mostly see it in manga because like mostly read manga as a child is in the back or like I guess like in the old magazines they would put like little like comedic comic panels that were still related to the story but they were still their own little thing.
Yeah.
And if people were actually interested in it, they would actually read the story. And like I think a good example of how that started is there's this webcomic called Irma, if you guys know that. It's basically if the lady from Grudge had a child with a human and they have this little girl named Irma. It's adorable, I promise.
It's adorable. I think I heard about this.
Yeah, and the way they started it out, it was little tidbits of what if this lady had a child and this child was just living day-to-day life. So they made like little mini comics of this little girl just trying her best in elementary school and just making friends and just like, it started off as little unrelated little tidbits, but then the more they progressed, it actually turned into a story and it all started just out of a meme of what if a child came out of this scenario? So it worked out for them. And a lot of, like, I've seen like a lot of comics that started off that way. There was this one LGBT comic that I saw where it just started off as two roommates and it was just like random memes of, oh, it's just a nerd and a punk. And there was no storyline whatsoever. It was just a meme of an idea. And then it turned into an actual storyline. So like, if what this one could work is just turn some of the, like, I guess major points, or not major, but like some of the points in the story, like that would happen to the characters, and add it, like make, like, I hate to say it, but like make a meme out of it. Like just like add more life to it than just them almost dying every other day.
Right.
Show like, oh, like let's see if we can make this funny, or like add this relatable thing that'll still match the story kind of thing.
Well, if you can think of those.
<You're free. laughs> I think I see what you mean. Yeah. I know, I guess we have, you know, who the ideal reader is pretty like down and pat. I guess, I suppose at this point it's just a matter of how to reach them.
Yes, that is
exactly
the major key. But you need to know who you're trying
the
to
ultimate
reach.
Question.
Yeah. And how do you reach, how do you reach kids who are in high school? Yeah.
How do you reach kids in high school? Yeah. I don't know.
And that's a big moving target as far as what they're, you know, looking at, or, you know.
It's true. You got to get on TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not going to happen for me. I'm going to feel attacked right now. So, yeah, maybe that's something we need to figure out, TikTok. I mean, we need to figure out where these people are, the people we're trying to reach, where they are and try to be there.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know anything about TikTok. And I know it exists, and I know you've done some videos for it, but that's about as far as I've gotten. It's like 2 minutes. Yeah, you know, I don't watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Personally. So maybe I'm the wrong person.
It might actually be a good resource now that I think about it. Like, you know, it's a very visual site. You know, comics are a visual medium. So I imagine, like, even just still image, even if you don't necessarily have the means to make an animatic commercial sort of thing like Line does, even just like an image on TikTok, I imagine could go a long way.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Yeah, okay, we can talk about doing that. All right, well,
social media.
Yeah,
kids love social media.
But they're gonna probably go from platform to platform. You know, what is, you know, popular now may not be popular in 3 years or whatever. I don't know.
It's right.
It's a moving target. I mean, you know. No.
Well, the best thing about social media is, like, no matter what the content, like, as long as your content is good, I've seen, you can literally just go anywhere. Because remember, like, back then there was, like, talk of TikTok disappearing because of reasons.
Yeah.
But the one thing I remember I was watching this influencer is, say if TikTok does die, whether if it's gone or just people don't like it anymore, doesn't mean like the content does. It just moves. So right. Whether or not if TikTok is still going to be popular in 10 years or not, like one thing being a content creator I've learned is just have more than one branch. So like if you have Twitch, do YouTube too. If you have those two, branch out, because honestly, like, not every, like, one platform isn't going to last you forever. You got to move with the
right,
move with like the times. I hate to say that, but it's like,
no, but we're trying to be, you know, we do this show on Twitch. We also mm-hmm. put this video up on YouTube, and the audio actually goes up on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
And then we're on, we put stuff on Instagram, and that goes to Twitter and to Facebook and to Tumblr. So we're trying to hit those. I mean, one thing I like about that is I can hit a bunch of things at one time instead of going individually. And then I'm trying to be more proactive in, like, if I put something on Facebook, I can share it to other comic book groups and things like that instead of just on my homepage. So, you know.
Yeah.
And feel free, if you guys want to share the groups you're in, that'd be great too. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I think we'll have the class will be, we'll dismiss the meeting. Class is dismissed. So you want to
class adjourned.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're watching this on YouTube, if you like this, leave a like, subscribe if you want to see more, and ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm Trevor Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.